A few months ago, we had a conversation about a job opening in Kansas City, the position of the Chief Innovation Officer, which was described to us as sort of an entrepreneur in residence. Well, back in November, the city announced it had found the right guy for the position. Bob Bennett begins his work just a few days ago. His charge, find innovative and smart solutions to solve complex city issues. We'll get to know a little bit more about these complex problems and more about our new entrepreneur in residence right now. Bob Bennett, welcome and congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be here. Appreciate the invitation.
When did the job start? How long have you been on the job?
This is my fourth day.
Fourth day.
So still trying to figure out the building and figure out where the coffee machines are, but it's all good.
Well, the world is changing clearly here, Bob. Cities now have these chief innovation officers. Give us a sense of, you know, the scope of your work and where you'll be focusing a lot of your attention.
The total idea is to figure out how we're going to lay the groundwork for the 22nd century. I work in an office building now that's
the 22nd century.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I work in an office building that's almost 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the infrastructure that went in to build it and to create it has existed for that almost 100 years now. So what we're trying to do is figure out what's coming up. What are the evolving technologies? What are the requirements for both the 21st and the 22nd century that Kansas Cityans are going to have to engage to be a part of their community and to get what they want?
Your work suggests that the city of the future is going to be very different from the city that we've all known to love and live in these days.
It's going to be a smarter city. And the Smart and Connected Cities initiatives that we're working on right now are going to start to bear fruit probably by March. And that's going to be a public Wi-Fi that's going to be along the streetcar line and extend beyond that.
Yeah.
So that both citizens and visitors to our city can come in and have the opportunity to figure out where the best place is to eat based on their location that they can see on their app on their cell phone.
And this is just along the new streetcar line?
Not just the streetcar line. It's going to extend a little bit beyond that, about 2.5 miles or so. There are going to be 25 kiosks, each of which will have the ability to interact with folks. Of the 25, 12 are on the streetcar line, and the remaining 13 will be elsewhere in the Midtown area initially.
And I can grab my smartphone and look at things like what, where the nearby restaurants are, what else?
You can figure out restaurants. You can figure out where city services are available. If you're a new resident and you're trying to figure out where to go sign up for water services, there will be a trove of city information available to you through that application.
Huh. What else can you figure out through all this?
This is the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a lot of conversations with a lot of our Kansas City entrepreneurs. Had a couple of meetings with the guys down at the Startup Village. Had a couple of meetings so far with folks over at Think Big. And what I'm learning to date is that Kansas City really is on the cusp of a digital revolution. We're going way beyond what's just available over the hill. And we're looking out 5 years, 10 years, and being able to establish the conditions for us to use those and to bring in that entrepreneurial spirit into our day-to-day activities, that's where we're heading.
We're visiting with Bob Bennett. He's the city's new chief innovation officer for Kansas City, Missouri. Well, give us a sense here, Bob. You know, give me some context. Where does Kansas City sort of fall in the list of, you know, major cities across the country? Are we, you know, staying up to speed with these innovative innovation changes, or have we fallen behind? Where are we?
In many ways, we are at the forefront. We were among the first cities to create this position in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, there were only about 12 cities in the United States. The likes of Chicago was up there. Louisville, Indianapolis had this type of a position. And since then, we've brought in Google Fiber. We've brought in the Startup Village and the multiple entrepreneurs that are working out of there. We brought in the collaboration with Cisco and the Think Big folks.
Mm-hmm.
So we are at the forefront in that area. But in other areas, we've got some space to improve, bringing in the streetcar, bringing in the ability to transit our spaces more efficiently and to do it more connectedly.
You lost me there. Transit our spaces, meaning what?
I flew into Dallas for the Oklahoma-Texas game. Actually, it was the same weekend I interviewed for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I arrived at the airport, jumped on a cell phone, and I had the same city-provided Wi-Fi coverage from the moment I got off the airplane until I got to my downtown hotel. We don't have that yet. And certainly...
So it's sort of blanket coverage in Dallas, you're saying?
Absolutely, along those city corridors where they have a metro line. And 10 years ago, when I went to that game, there was no metro line into the airport. Mm-hmm. So certainly this is something that over the mid to long term, we can get there.
You know, there are lots of other smart cities ideas out there as well. And I'm wondering, what are some of the other ideas that are being kicked around right now, Bob, that our listeners might be able to relate to? I've heard about even like sensors that make sure a trash can has been emptied mm-hmm. or that kind of thing. Fill me in.
Well, there will be on the streetlights in Midtown initially, sensors that will tell us essentially how many people are in an area. Certainly won't be able to identify them, but it'll identify masses so that in a future world, for the next World Series parade that we have here in Kansas City or for the Super Bowl parade, I could tell you that we need to surge bus traffic to a certain area so that we can take care of more citizens that way. And during that party, we will have sensors inside the garbage containers, the large, the super large areas that the likes of Power and Light use, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And when it reaches a certain level, and we know that within the next hour or two, it will come overflowing, a signal would go out, and then the trash folks could come in and empty that particular receptacle.
That's interesting.
The city of Jerusalem right now has sensors in their water pipes, which measure for pressure on pipes or measure for temperature. And that helps them to forecast where the next break is going to be before it happens.
No kidding.
So instead of a disaster mitigation or someone losing water service because their water pipe is blown, they're actually going and doing routine maintenance while that person is sleeping. And so there are a whole lot of applications that, again, we're just starting to begin to understand how they can best apply to the city. And by starting that discussion now, by working with the entrepreneurs and the innovators and the other cities who are out there, we're going to be able to better help build that infrastructure so that 100 years from now, when my great-grandkids are still hanging out here in Kansas City, they won't look at us and say, why didn't you build fiber? It'll be there for them.
Hey, how about things like connecting people with the police, Bob, or the fire department? Are there new ideas kicking around there?
The ideas are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, we have a 911 system that works very well. But the ways that we use the technology to make it more efficient are probably opportunities that we could use.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had the chance yet to dig into that one too much. But certainly, as computers have sped up most processes, I can't imagine there isn't a way for us to do that.
Or even connecting people with the mayor, with their council representatives. I imagine there might be some new thinking there.
There is a good deal of thought going on there. We are very active on Twitter throughout the building. One of the first pieces of education I got was how to more interact with Twitter other than just following sports figures or following the news or following your program. It was how do we actually use it as a data transmission tool and how do we get feedback? Similarly, we used social media, both Facebook and Twitter, to help publicize our urban momentum effort. The next effort, I believe, will be next Tuesday. It'll be down in the crossroads, and it's where we open up ourselves to the public to come in and talk to us about what innovative ideas do they have? Where do they want to see a focused effort so that we can throw that into the conversation, throw that idea to an entrepreneur, discuss it with the guys at Think Big, and again, set those conditions for the next century.
Are all members of the city council on Twitter? Is that sort of become the thing, or do we know?
I don't know if all the city council members are. The ones that I've interacted with to date have been because we've interacted by Twitter.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, like, you know, we think about this down here at KCUR. You know, what's the more effective way to reach people? Is it via Facebook? Is it Twitter? Is it some other social medium these days that sort of started out there? Do you have a sense of that for your council representatives?
I don't yet.
Not yet.
Again, I've only had Twitter conversations with them. What I will tell you is we're 25 years in the Army and in this job. The same tool doesn't work for all folks. The Twitterverse works great for millennials.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work so well for my parents.
Yeah.
My parents like to use Facebook because that's where they see pictures of their grandkids.
That's right.
And so I have to use the same message in multiple forums to reach out and to get that feedback and to get that get that input.
I mean, it sounds like a lot of your job is going to be prioritizing things, Bob, because the world's exploding here and you're trying to hang on to a bucking bronco here, it sounds like.
Oh, we're not going to hold on to that Rucking Bunker. We're going to tame that thing.
Are you?
The ultimate goal is to synchronize, and it's to figure out...
Meaning what? What does that mean?
With all of the capacity that's out there, understanding how each of us has a goal and an objective that is out there 5 to 10 years. A business wants to succeed over those 5 to 10 years. How do I put them on the pathway to succeed that will then have an ancillary effect of helping a different person succeed, making it a collaborative approach instead of a overly competitive approach? And that's where the Urban Momentum things come in to help us out, because we get everybody in the room at the same time. It's a process I used that worked in Baghdad when I was on General Petraeus' staff. It's a process that I used when we were doing operations in Africa as a chief of operations at U.S. Army Africa. So it's possible to do that.
So you see a city that's a more helpful, a more cooperative element in the community than it is even today.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the things that drew us back here when we left the Army. It was a case where we had lived in D.C. We had had that lifestyle, and it was great when you're 20-something, and you don't have to worry about schools, and you don't have to worry about those types of things. What we found here was a family element that expanded not just to those who were related to by blood, but by those who were on our streets and in our neighborhoods and such. And so that was something we wanted to come back to. And I'm seeing the business community, too. I mean, you go down to Think Big, you go down to the Startup Village. The folks down there aren't competing one with the other. They're competing in a marketplace of ideas. And that's they're literally trying to change the world. And the fact is, they just might do it.
Bob Bennett is my guest. He's the new Chief Innovation Officer for the city of Kansas City, Missouri. Part of your job, Bob, involves something called the KC Stat Initiative. What is that?
It is a massive data tool. I don't necessarily run it. I know the people who do, and they're brilliant. What I did do while preparing for the job and while interviewing for it was I used that tool to figure out where are the true priorities in Kansas City, not just by what it's said in speeches, what's done through tweets or what's done on Facebook posts, but where is the money allocated? How is that prioritized? That's available for citizens to see. Additionally, you can see who's who on KC Strat, because the lines and the accounting lines are associated with individual names. All this is available to citizens that they can go out and see what their government is actually doing day to day. And it's a wonderful tool because it's updated frequently.
If you want to join our conversation with Bob, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Then there's something called the KC Digital Roadmap. What is the KC Digital Roadmap?
It's a strategic document. It is primarily focused on the interior of the city government and making us more efficient. Right now, there is a multiple-step process for you to go through and get a permit issued to get a new restaurant. What we are attempting to do long-term with that blueprint is figure out a way to make that more efficient. And there is some development there. I haven't got the full briefing on it yet. But I know that a lot of the coding and a lot of the interaction with the citizens is going to happen in a more electronic forum. And that was sort of the strategy that helped us to develop that. And then there was a second component which brought in the entrepreneurs that were beginning to sort of amend based on their feedback and what's working for them. I had a meeting with a couple of them yesterday that in my mind, was quite educational in understanding what their real concerns are.
You just said you work for General Petraeus overseas. What did you do for him, and what was your job in the military?
For General Petraeus, I was the deputy director of something called the Joint Interagency Task Force Iraq. And my specific job was to look at two complex problems, one of which was the capacity of al-Qaeda in Iraq. The second of which was the influence of Iran on Iraq. And that
the capacity of al-Qaeda, that's a mouthful, isn't it?
It was, but it was we weren't just looking at what they could do militarily, but what they were doing socially at that time. And again, this is going back 2008-ish. So prior to, obviously, the decision to
withdraw.
To move on from that particular campaign. But we came up with an interagency strategy because we figured out that was not a problem that we could solve just militarily. One of the things that we realized was a lot of terrorists were terrorists because they didn't have anything else to do. So there was a component of that which was getting USAID involved to have a different thing for them to do.
The information agency,
Aid for International Development. Mm-hmm. So it was jobs. Mm-hmm. And it was, how do I work with an aid agency that's doing a jobs thing and collaborating with the military? That's not something that culturally USAID likes to do. And so, again, it was finding that common ground, finding a place where we could agree was the ultimate objective, and then freeing them up to go off and do what they needed to do to achieve their vision, and while making sure that we were doing what we needed to do at the same time. And where there were interactions that didn't necessarily help either of us, solving those problems before they became real drama.
So maybe the question is, how does working for the military, how did that prepare you for working for the city of Kansas City, Missouri?
Well, like the military, Petraeus, there are a lot of...
Sly James is sort of like David Petraeus, do I have that right?
Well, you know, he's better looking, but you know, he has a better looking tie. But in addition to that, there are a lot of similar type people in these organizations. Mm-hmm. Very bright, very dedicated, very intelligent. In both General Petraeus' staff and Mayor James' staff, I frequently find myself to be never the smartest guy in the room, frequently on the lower end of that spectrum.
Yeah.
And it's being able to, again, have that discussion with folks, have that meeting of the minds and acceptance of an ultimate goal that we can all agree on, and then getting people to work toward it together and the collaboration environment.
You know, maybe a final point, Bob. To what extent do you think the residents of Kansas City are ready for the innovation that you want to usher in?
I think it depends a little bit on the demographics. The millennials are impatient for it. I will never get there fast enough.
Yeah.
My in-laws, not so much. Mm-hmm. And the spectrum there is going to cause us to do it probably at a rate that will cause drama on both ends of the spectrum, but I think meet most of their needs. And as these innovations become standards, and as we get used to the idea that the stoplights are working more efficiently, and my drive time downtown
that I would
faster.
Like, by the way, stoplights, stupid stoplights where I got to stop and no one's going across the crossway. It makes me crazy.
The world's leader in technology on how to do that more efficiently is right here in Kansas City, Rhythm Engineering. That's
really
what they do. And they've been doing it for a couple of different cities to this point. But they are literally the best in the world at that task.
And you're going to be bringing them in?
They're already on board.
Wow. Okay. Well, I appreciate your time so much, and good luck with the work, Bob.
Thanks very much, Steve. This has been an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to possibly coming on with you again
Absolutely.
Someday and giving you an update.
That's Bob Bennett. He's the new Chief Innovation Officer for the City of Kansas City, Missouri.